Welcome and thank you for joining us on This Week in State Tax, also known as TWIST. My name is Harley Duncan, and I'm with the KPMG Washington National Tax State and Local Practice. As we mentioned on our recent podcast on the revised statute of limitations policy in Texas, we are augmenting our regular Monday morning TWIST publication with a monthly podcast featuring a significant development that is broadly applicable to the business community. Today, we will be talking about developments in the unclaimed property area, also known as SG and more frequently referred to as UP. The topics today will include recent letters requesting the submission of verified reports released by everyone's favorite unclaimed property state, Delaware. And given the Halloween season that's close upon us, we will also take a quick look at an emerging legislative trend to shorten or eliminate the dormancy period for certain payments to deceased individuals. Our guest today is Will King. Will is a KPMG principal who leads our national unclaimed property practice. He joined KPMG in 2016 and has about 15 years experience in the unclaimed property field. He also serves as the first vice president of the Unclaimed Property Professionals Organization, the primary national organization dedicated to helping businesses comply with their unclaimed property obligations. Welcome to TWIST, Will, and let's go right ahead. So we know that the Delaware Department of Finance recently released some letters to a variety of businesses directing these holders of unclaimed property, as you all call them, to submit a report of their most recent unclaimed property filing with Delaware. So what exactly is the first state asking here?
Thanks, Harley. So that's right. Back in August, the state of Delaware mailed out a number of what they call verified report requests. These are part of Delaware's new, what they call a Section 1170, that's a reference back to the unclaimed property law in the state, enforcement action, which was created through a law change that was several years ago. And we've seen three iterations, really, of these verified report requests since Section 1170 was enacted. In the first year that we saw these requests come out, the state itself mailed these letters out to a select number of holders. And what the verified report request essentially does is it asks a company to validate or recertify the completeness and accuracy of the unclaimed property report that was filed in a given year, or if no report was filed, an attestation that that's because there was, in fact, no property due to the state. The report also asks the holder to identify all of the legal entities that are included in a consolidated report to the state and ask them to provide a copy of their policies and procedures for unclaimed property tracking and reporting. Now, when the state first began this program a couple years ago, as I mentioned, the state themselves sent it out to a select number of holders. Last November, we sort of saw the second iteration of the verified report request process, where the state sent to around 1,000 holders in the state this verified report request. And at that time, the state began sort of administering the verified report request program through some of their third-party audit firms. This year, we saw those go out in August as opposed to November, but based on conversations we've had with the state, we expect that the volume of verified report requests will increase this year. There may be an additional mailing done in November in addition to the one done in August. And still, these submissions or the responses to the verified report request are being reviewed by third-party firms who also conduct unclaimed property audits on behalf of Delaware and other states. Now, Delaware has told us that their goal is that essentially every Delaware filer of unclaimed property will probably get a verified report request once every 4 to 5 years. So this is expected to be something that will be recurring with the state. It will be happening regularly. And so companies need to take it seriously when they get these requests.
All right. That's what they're asking and what the business is supposed to do. So as you talk with clients, what are they finding that's particularly challenging with respect to filing the verified report?
Well, We're all very busy, right, Harley? And for many people, unclaimed property is not their full-time job in a company. So certainly the first most challenging piece of this is the timing of it. Last year, when the verified report requests went out, the request included an FAQ document, which essentially told the holder that they had 30 days to acknowledge receipt of the verified report request, and then they had up to 180 days to provide their response. Under the Delaware statute, a company has up to 1 year to complete a verified report request. So the 180-day mark kind of gave the company that window of time to respond, and then an additional 180 days for the reviewing firm to review the response and determine whether additional actions were necessary or to close the review. In this most current iteration of the verified report request, from the ones that went out in August and the ones that we anticipate will come out in subsequent periods, the communication to the company is a little bit more clear. They say they would like the initial response provided in 30 days, and it is possible to request periodic extensions if they are needed in order to complete the request. So the state is clearly looking to get these responses in a quicker time frame than they might have gotten them in the last iteration of this. And that quick timeline to re-review your records, recertify the report for its accuracy, and address the unclaimed property request for policies and procedures can be a bit tight for some companies. The other challenge we've dealt with some clients is the attestation component of this. How do you get comfortable that the report was complete, and how do you do so within that time frame? Some companies have had to take the time to sort of re-review records that led into that report. And I do think that one of the goals of the state, and I think it's a valid goal, is for companies to maybe take a pause in compliance programs that have been running on autopilot for years and say, okay, how do we make sure that everything that's feeding into this compliance process should be coming into it? Companies are acquisitive, they launch new product types, they change bank accounts, or they change third-party providers. And so wanting to make sure that what's feeding into the process is feeding in that should be. And some of that also is driven by the third challenge to this, which is the request for policies and procedures. There are many companies out there who have policies and procedures for unclaimed property compliance. There are many that do not. There are many that have policies and procedures that they don't necessarily follow. And there are many that have policies and procedures that might look scant or scarce to somebody who practices in unclaimed property full time. For example, they might only address one area of the company that generates unclaimed property, like payroll, and not other areas of the company. And so I think for a lot of our clients that are getting these requests, that's something in particular that they're looking at, is they're saying, okay, we're getting this request from a third party reviewer, from a state and a reviewing firm to look at our policies and procedures. We want to make sure and kick the tires that those are actually accurate and complete before we turn those over. That's another piece of this. Now, I will say Delaware, in closing these verified report requests, has a policies and procedures checklist and questionnaire, which they provide to the company at the end of this process, which includes 15 components that they expect all PMPs to have. And so when we're working with clients, we, of course, know what the state's expectations are on that front and are helping look at the PMPs to make sure that they're meeting those standards.
So I get what's being asked. I'm assuming there's issues that arise if you're not capable of responding in time, or you don't respond, or somebody considers your policy and procedure manual to come up a little short. What can happen if a client doesn't respond or needs some remedial work?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, this verified report request program is part of the Section 1170 enforcement actions. And so enforcement actions also come with escalations for failing to respond. And so there is an escalation process if a holder receives one of these requests, if a company receives one of these requests and fails to respond to it timely. Now, the verified report request is generally addressed to the chief tax officer, the tax department, the unclaimed property department, the CFO, or the CEO. So it's going to a number of different places. There can be multiple letters going out. And so certainly that 30-day window for response is tight when it's going to somebody higher up in the organization. But here's what the escalation process is that we know about. So under the law in Delaware, aside from a handful of exceptions, you can generally not be audited for unclaimed property compliance. And many people know the headaches and pain points of an unclaimed property audit. But generally, you cannot be audited for compliance if you haven't first been invited into the state's VDA program, their Voluntary Disclosure Agreement program. Now, that requirement to first be invited into the VDA process before an audit doesn't exist if a holder or company fails to respond to, for example, one of these 1170 requests like the verified report. So under the law, technically, you could fail to respond to this and probably fail to respond to some follow-ups that the state will issue, and you could be referred to audit right away. That's not, however, what the state has said will happen. So everything that we've heard from the state and from the third-party reviewing firms administering the verified report process is that if a company is non-responsive, fails to respond, or if their response is deemed to be very inadequate, then the next level of escalation will be that the company will be invited into the VDA program in the state, the Secretary of State VDA program. That is a VDA process that is also administered by third parties for the state of Delaware, and it has a 15-year look-back period for compliance. So it can be a pretty significant undertaking in and of itself. So that escalation is truly an escalation. Going into the VDA process is time consuming. There are also other escalations under the Delaware law in addition to an audit. One is that you could get a request for something called a compliance review. This is essentially like a mini audit of a single year. So a couple different escalations that can happen. Best thing though, take the verified report request seriously, address it fully when it comes in, and avoid one of those escalation paths.
All right. Well, let's move on from Delaware. As I glance through various unclaimed property things, I see a growing number of references to the state death master file from Social Security Administration. Without being too morbid, what's up with this?
I mean, this makes it an appropriate and spooky topic as we get closer to Halloween to talk about the impacts of death on unclaimed property compliance. This is, in fact, though, a trend that we've seen in the unclaimed property space over the last several years. Where this all started, there are certainly types of property covered under the unclaimed property laws where death can serve as a triggering event for running the dormancy period or beginning the clock on when something becomes potentially reportable as unclaimed property. And the most common types of that are, of course, like life insurance products where death can trigger a payout event, or an annuity where death can trigger a payout event where if a life insurance company becomes aware that somebody has passed away, then that can trigger the timeline to start running for when something becomes reportable. And many years ago, many life insurance companies went under exam and auditors began using this death master file that's maintained by the Social Security Administration as a tool in those exams to figure out when policy proceeds might be reportable under the states. And there were pitfalls and there's a lot of controversy around that process because it wasn't necessarily written into the statutes at the time, but it's pretty commonplace today. The states have sort of expanded that use of the DMF from these types of property that death can serve as a valid trigger for, like life insurance proceeds, like certain type of retirement benefit accounts. And they're certainly expanding it in terms of how it can be used in other property types or other types of accounts that could be unclaimed property, where a company might just tangentially know that an owner becomes deceased, but it may not be part of the regular course of business. And so a couple of states that, for example, that we've been looking at where we're starting to see statutory changes come into place that implicate death, like Florida, for example, which has what we call a death acceleration provision for security types. And then they have a death acceleration provision for all other property types. And what essentially Florida did was they said that for general property types, the dormancy period is actually reduced to 2 years after the date of death, unless a fiduciary that's appointed to represent the estate of an owner has made an expression of interest in the property before the two-year period. Illinois has a similar death acceleration provision, shortening the dormancy period for when property is reportable to 2 years for various types of property that the company may or may not know an owner is deceased. For example, mineral interest proceeds. Many oil and gas companies might know that an owner is deceased. And so that would technically accelerate the dormancy period in Illinois for that property type. Also, property money owed to a customer as a result of a retail transaction, virtual currency, demand, savings, and time deposits, CDs, also subject to that acceleration in Illinois. We're also seeing it used in audits. So the state of New York, for example, in many of the audits that we've seen today, will run property types utilizing customer information against this death master file, which has some accuracy issues with it, and send populations back to a company and say, we are showing that these owners are potentially deceased. Could you let us know why you think their property is not reportable? And so it has an effect of expanding some of the populations in these audits as well.
Yeah, so it's basically set up some new procedures that you have to track to know when the dormancy period begins and report that are outside of the norm with what you've been accustomed to. All right. I'll give you the last word. Any kind of final thoughts on the unclaimed property area, Will?
Well, I guess if I was sort of looking into my crystal ball, a couple of things that are top of mind for me. One is right now we are in the midst of our unclaimed property annual compliance busy season. So vast majority of states have a reporting deadline for unclaimed property that is 1031 or 111. So right now our teams here at the firm are busy preparing the unclaimed property reports for our compliance clients. And I know probably a lot of the folks listening to this podcast are in the midst of that as well. So wishing everybody luck who's gearing up for that 111 deadline for compliance. But two, I also think that one of the things that is top of mind for me from a compliance perspective and a go-forward perspective is actually the result of a Delaware law that was signed by the governor back in August that made some changes to the Delaware statute as they relate to foreign property. And for those of you who know in unclaimed property compliance, foreign address property typically reports to a company's state of incorporation, which for many companies is the state of Delaware. Well, Delaware made some changes to its law that as a result of this sourcing rule and then indemnified companies who report foreign address property from any claims from a foreign jurisdiction or a foreign owner related to the property that's reported to it. These new law changes kind of put a challenge on a company to look at foreign jurisdictions and see whether or not there are compliance requirements or unclaimed property laws in those foreign jurisdictions that might apply before just reporting that property to Delaware. And so something that we'll be looking at as we head to Delaware's reporting deadline next spring are some of the foreign countries that have unclaimed property requirements, what the scope of those unclaimed property requirements are, and how they might impact the Delaware reports that are going to be largely due for most companies next March.
That's fascinating, actually, when you think about it. Will, thank you very much. I think that's about the time we have today. We really appreciate that you joined us. We hope to have you on again. To our listeners, we hope you keep enjoying these podcasts and our weekly Twist publication. Thank you.